There it is, John.
Yeah.
For your birthday, the big 5-7. We already had Bradley Whitford on the show. And joining us now is the great Martin Sheen.
No, he's not.
I was just kidding.
Just come
thought
on,
I'd make
man.
It sound like that. Did I have you at all?
No.
Oh, all right. Thought I had you going.
No, Whitford was enough. Trust me, that was great.
Yeah, so the Lakers are down in Orlando in the bubble, and they are holding Zoomers on a regular basis, Zoom conference calls, Zoomers. A little bit earlier today, KCP was asked how his role will be affected with no Avery Bradley and no Rajon Rondo.
I don't think it affected at all. I think it was just the same as when Avery was out at the beginning of the season when I did start in 20 games. I mean, I just pick up on where we left off at, you know, continue to just play hard and do what I do.
Yeah, and those 20 games, by the way, Mace, the Lakers went 17-3.
Yes. No, they were very good without Avery Bradley on the floor. There's no question. Here is Alex Caruso, same question, minutes with Avery and Rondo out.
Yeah, so obviously with Avery gone, we were probably leaning more towards me and KCP trying to pick up some defensive duties as far as guarding the lead ball handler, start games, and we're still figuring that out and working that out. And now with Rondo gone, we're going to have to do some more supplemental ball handling just because he ran point guard a lot for that second unit. So I'm expecting to do a little bit of that. Not sure if I'll do it 100%. Just lack of time and not knowing how we're going to approach it and how we're going to satisfy the need. So obviously we got me, we got Quinn, we got other guys that can fill in and handle the ball and run the show. So whoever's going to be called upon is going to be ready to go. That's kind of been the theme for this team this whole year is whenever we've had guys down, whoever's been back up stepped into their spot and filled the role very well. So I think that's going to continue to be the theme. We're going to try and work in the new guys and see how they are. And then obviously the guys that have been here all year, we're going to try and do our part and step into his shoes.
And I think, by the way, I throughout the year, I wanted to see Alex Caruso get more minutes than Rondo. And this is a tremendous opportunity for Alex Caruso. And I have complete faith in the guy. He is a playmaker. He's a guy who plays defense, plays really hard. In fact, ranks 10th in the top 10 defensively among point guards in terms of defensive rating. I think he's going to shine in this tournament.
Well, Mace, statistically now, if he's out there with LeBron, his efficiency numbers are better than almost any other guard on the team, Caruso.
Yep.
So it's not like the Lakers will be shocked if he performs well. If you look at their lineups and you go over the best plus minuses and the best efficiency numbers, it's when both Caruso and LeBron are on the floor.
Yeah. Now, Caruso is electing to wear Black Lives Matter on his jersey. Here he explains that.
Yeah, I decided to put Black Lives Matter on the back of the jersey. I thought that was, you know, as a white player in the NBA, I feel like showing the support and voicing that as a figure that a lot of white kids growing up around the country idolize or fans of, whatever you want to call it. I think it's important for me to show that that's the right thing and that the message is equality and the message is justice, you know, is making sure that their voices are heard and that everybody treats everybody how they should be treated.
You know what I was thinking about the other day? Mm-hmm. About like that. That's a good example. I think it's great Alex Caruso is doing that, and I think
yep.
It's smart as a white player that he's doing it. But it was actually a black friend of mine I was playing golf with the other day that pointed this out to me. Of course Black Lives Matter. I mean, the fact that we have to say it and stress it and it and that it's become a movement is staggering to me. Like in your own mind, when did they not matter? Never.
Well, they've mattered all along. But remember,
right.
As recently as 3 or 4 years ago, to say Black Lives Matter on social media was deemed a political statement. Now it is a human rights statement.
Yeah, I just
but there was a time when people got themselves into some trouble using Black Lives Matter on social media.
Yeah, that phrase never was controversial to me. Never was it wasn't then. It's not now. I almost feel like it should be prefaced with "of course." You know, it's staggering to me that in the year of our Lord 2020, that we need to beat that over the head of people to get them to understand it. It and like, as my friend pointed out, he goes, "It's almost insulting." And I went, "Well, not almost." I go, "As a white person, I'm embarrassed that we need to have a movement called Black Lives Matter and that people didn't understand that they always mattered all along." You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't know. How are we doing? How have we responded to the Black Lives Matter movement?
I don't know. I think you'd have to ask.
Like, Congress tried to pass something, couldn't pass anything, because that's Congress.
Right, but that's been bogged down. I've sensed, and I've been saying this for a few months now, I've sensed a tangible change in attitude in this country. I think that we have a better chance right now to change the culture than we've had since I've been alive. Now, will it stay that way? And will we be able to do it? As you point out, will we be able to pass laws? And will it show up in the election? I don't know, but I think we got a shot.
They could not even pass. I mean, I don't want to get political, but they couldn't even pass a bill through Congress that banned chokeholds.
Right, but that's now. So let's see if those people who voted the way they did are still around after
now,
the election.
Lots of cities, municipalities, counties, sheriff's departments have banned chokeholds. So there has been movement on a local level. But there's been no movement on a federal level in terms of chokeholds. A lot of people have, like, for example, Eric Garcetti, the mayor, has taken money from the police budget to devote to underserved neighborhoods, African-American neighborhoods. So there have been changes and there have been moves made. But I don't know that John, we have so long to go. We have so far to go.
But don't you think it's moving in the right direction for the first time in a long time?
For the first time in a long time. I mean, it was sickening to see the long list of African-American men and women who were killed unjustly in situations over the last 5 or 6 years. And finally, George Floyd. By the way, whose last words, I don't know if you read the transcript of that, whose last words before he died were, "I can't breathe," has woken up the world. Breonna Taylor, her situation in Louisville, no-knock warrant. A lot of municipalities have banned no-knock warrants now. That's another change. And of course, Ahmaud Arbery was just an ugly, ugly incident in Georgia. But, yeah, those three incidents seem to have triggered something very, very different in American culture. And it's different for the better, for the better.
Yeah, but you're right, what you said earlier. We won't know unless we act on it. You know, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to act on it. Let's see how we do. I mean, but I'm confident that the climate's right. For the first time in a long time, the climate's ripe for change. We'll see.
So I want to play a couple of things. First of all, Austin Rivers was on IG Live. Did you see this?
I did not.
Okay, so he was asked about LeBron James and how he is he's being put up in the bubble.
Man, I told y'all, everybody keep asking if I seen Bron. Man, y'all know Bron ain't staying where we staying, man. Y'all know LeBron got a... He probably... This LeBron room right here. This whole thing. This whole damn building, LeBron room. They put everybody else over here. Stop asking me that. Y'all know he ain't staying where we staying at.
This whole damn building is LeBron.
So you know what's interesting about that? Is that when we all go on the road, LeBron absolutely stays where we stay and goes on the bus.
Well, here's a little bit of a follow-up on that. Austin was just joking. Here's Chris Haynes from TNT.
LeBron is switching things up. On the campus, he's doing things a little bit differently. Now, he's not having, I was told, sources told me, he has not brought along his personal chef, his personal masseuse, nor has he brought over his extended security team. He wants to make sure that he's going through all the rigors of his teammates on this campus to make sure he's blending in and going through everything that they're experiencing. And LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Quinn Cook, at times I've seen them roaming the campus, just walking along, just getting a bonding period. But LeBron James was clearly trying to send a message that we're all in this together. And that is one of his forms of trying to show that he's out there with them doing the same thing that they're doing. And he's eating the same exact
Chris
food.
Chris Haynes.
Eating the same food.
Well, yeah, and Mace, I mean, I obviously can't speak for Austin Rivers, but I can tell you, as somebody who's traveled with the Lakers for a couple of years, that's always been the case with LeBron.
Sure.
I see him going out to dinner with those guys all the time. He's on our buses. He's on our plane. He's in our hotel. Like, I'll give you an example. Joe Torre, when he was the manager of the Dodgers, remember he was coming off of that long run in New York where he went to all those World Series with the Yankees? Joe had a clause in his contract that he didn't have to stay in the team hotel. So when the Dodgers would land, everybody would get on the bus and there'd be a car to take Joe Torre to a different hotel. He negotiated that as part of his deal.
Right.
Which is good if you can get it.
Sure.
And keep in mind that a guy like LeBron or AD could do that if they wanted to, but he doesn't. LeBron's always with us.
Yeah. And I think it's pretty clear Austin Rivers was joking, and it's interesting that LeBron is, and it's important, I think, that there be some equity. I mean, stars get star treatment, and that's understood, but the fact that LeBron is in it with everybody else can't be anything but a positive message. This is, let me play this. So last night, there was a Milwaukee intra-squad game.
Okay.
And Christian Yelich stepped to the plate and listened to what happened. He, by the way, he was wearing the visitor jersey.
But we can continue to talk. Last time we just stopped talking and he struck out. So
yeah,
we're trying to change the mojo a little
guys
bit.
Guys are superstitious. They don't want to deal with that.
What we don't want is for Christian to take the mic off.
Well, did you catch the booing as he was coming up to home plate?
I did not.
And what he said? He said, "What am I, a Wrigley?"
Yeah, he got booed. They played the boos. Now, see, that's where I wonder about when baseball starts. We know that, for example, watching LAFC the other night, that there was crowd noise pumped into the television broadcast, but not to the actual players and the field. In this case, those boos were played to the field and to the players. I wonder, has there been a uniform decision made about whether or not there will be crowd noise at baseball games?
Not that I know of, but my guess is there will be. I think it's up to the TV broadcasters. And the people I've talked to that are in TV have all told me that's where it's heading.
Yeah,
particularly,
I hope so.
If they have an affiliation with Fox.
I think there will be a sense of normalcy for people if there is normal crowd noise. And
I feel like it'll be really awkward if there's not.
I agree.
It will
with
be
you.
Weird if there's not. It will feel like an exhibition game. It will feel like spring training if there's no crowd noise. So I hope there is. And by the way, this is a week from tomorrow.
A week
from tomorrow, we've got baseball. In fact, we are going to carry the first game of the 2020 season, which is a great one. Yankees-Nationals with Garrett Cole versus Max Scherzer. Next Thursday afternoon, and then the Dodgers will play next Thursday night at Dodger Stadium against the Giants. That'll be Clayton Kershaw versus Johnny Cueto.
All right, so Funches just sent us a note that Alana Rizzo tweeted that she believes crowd noise is being pumped into the stadium for the inter-squad game tonight so that they would hear it inside the stadium as well as on the TV broadcast.
Okay, good.
Which is on Sportsnet LA at 6:30 tonight.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, John, our Karen of the day.
Oh, good.
She is, this one is really a piece of work. Plus, the world is fascinated by sharks. I've got a story about that coming up next, too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, so interesting story today from Twitter. The FBI in San Francisco says, we are aware of today's security incident involving several Twitter accounts belonging to high-profile individuals. The accounts appear to have been compromised in order to perpetuate cryptocurrency fraud. We advise the public not to fall victim to the scam by sending cryptocurrency or money relation to this incident.
Told you that cryptocurrency was dangerous.
We're continuing to limit the ability to tweet, reset your password, and some other account functionalities while we lock into this. Thanks for your patience. John, verified accounts can't tweet right now.
Let me test that.
Twitter belongs to the unverified.
I'm going to try.
I can confirm that's correct, and so can Carlo, our social media guru, who can't promote our guests, who couldn't promote our Mr. Guest today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I tried to put a poll up, and it says...
The funny thing is you can't tweet to complain
able
about
to
it,
send
right?
Tweet.
Yeah, you can't you don't see anyone complaining about it, right? You don't see any verified accounts.
Yeah, there are no tweets
throwing fits because they can't tweet
from checkmark people. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so, by the way, we started the show talking about how nobody has seen Markieff Morris.
Yes.
So Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times, who covers the Lakers for the Times, says, I asked Frank Vogel how Markieff Morris has looked. He said he won't comment on how players are looking.
I got that sound.
Oh, you got it? All right. So here's Frank talking about Markieff Morris.
Yeah, we're trying not to comment too much on individual players' performances right now, as we're still waiting to manage this time where we're respecting players' privacies. So I'm going to refrain from commenting on that.
And then apparently McMenamin asked him, is Morris even in Orlando? And Frank declined to answer.
I'm not going to comment on which guys are here and which guys are not here. Out of respect for our players' privacy.
Now, Dan Wojcik-Mace, who covers the NBA for the LA Times, was at Clippers, or points out that at Clippers practice, I don't know if Dan's down there or not, but he says Doc Rivers was asked about Marcus Morris's performance. And he said, I don't know.
Interesting. Well, I mean, if he was there, he'd be there.
That was profound.
Right? I mean, if Markieff Morris was there, he'd be there. There wouldn't be any caginess in answering the question. He'd just say, Markieff is playing fine. Markieff looks good. Markieff is ready to go. The fact that you're going into a... we're respecting the privacy of, to me, that suggests that Markieff is not in Orlando.
Yeah, I have no idea if he's in Orlando. Nobody's seen any pictures of him.
Correct.
But now Marcus is, has anyone seen any pictures of Marcus? Has there been a Morris twin spotted
there
at the
bubble?
There
may not be a Morris twin in the bubble right now. Crazy.
Interesting.
All right, so everybody knows what a Karen is now. A Karen is a... You describe Karen the best, Lindsay. How do you describe her?
I would say Karen's a middle-aged white lady who's super entitled, and when she doesn't get her way, she gets really mad.
Okay.
So that was an excellent explanation.
So here is a minute of Karen...
All right, so is this at the dentist's office again, like yesterday?
No, this is Karen at a grocery. Every day it's a different Karen. This is the Karen of the day. This is Karen at a grocery store.
It's essential for me.
It's not up to you. It's up to the government.
The government gets. The government said no food storage.
Yeah, no food storage.
The government says I can have food storage. Does it not? Oh, I want to see this list. This is great.
Plastic.
Okay.
Plastic.
Okay, but I'll bet it says you can have food storage, can you not? Essentials, kitchen gadgets. That would be a kitchen gadget. Cleaning supplies, paper products, any of the... Food storage. Holy crap, it says food storage.
Food.
Who gets to say what's food storage? I'm storing food in that. How do you know I'm not storing food in that? I'm telling you, I'm storing food in that. In your little government list, oh no, let's get a picture of this. Government list says food storage. Oh, I already got it. I already got it, Melissa. I already got it. So you're telling me you're refusing to sell me food storage items?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to the news with this. They're going to see all of this.
Ooh,
so
the
you're
news.
Denying me food storage.
Great threat.
Yes. Okay, and what was your name, sir? You don't want to tell me. That's okay. I got your face. All right.
I got your face. Yep. Oh, God. I'm going to the news with this.
Boy, the cancel culture is alive and well.
Yeah.
The funny thing is she's going to be the one who gets canceled.
Right. Right.
Although, do we see her face in that clip, Lindsay? I'm trying to remember if we even see her face.
I don't think so in that one, but somebody will identify
I don't think
her.
We do. But there are so many Karens out there, and people are, like, collecting clips of very entitled middle-aged white ladies who act like Karen. And I feel badly for women who are actually named Karen.
I do too. My cousin's named Karen. I think it's a bad time to be named Karen.
Now, a male Karen is reportedly a Ken. Because believe me, there are middle-aged white guys who are entitled, who want their way no matter what, too. So, Ken and Karen, maybe we'll find a Ken for tomorrow, just because I feel bad like we're picking on Karen so much. So, John, I'm watching TV today, and National Geographic puts on a promo for what they're calling Shark Fest. Hit that, Funch.
Sports fans. Sports fans, if you're looking for athletes to celebrate, Nat Geo Shark Fest is here. Witness the pure power, uncompromising athleticism, and sheer majesty of motion. With 5 full weeks of the greatest performances the ocean has ever seen, spend your summer in the company of champions. Sharkfest begins Sunday, July 19th at 8 on National Geographic.
5 full weeks of Sharkfest.
Wow. Normally, they just have Shark Week, right?
Meanwhile, Shark Week is still going on Discovery Channel. Mike Tyson is involved in promoting that. Here's that.
Iron Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet, is back for the ultimate showdown.
Shark Week is hard, man.
Whew. Shark Week's main event, Tyson versus Jaws, Sunday, August 9th on Discovery.
Someone's gonna get bit.
Someone's gonna get bit! That's great.
Tyson versus Jaws. Now, John, I have a super an unbelievably high fear of sharks.
Really?
I am absolutely terrified of the idea of sharks.
Okay, so here's the difference between me and you. When Jaws came out, the original Jaws.
Yes.
I was a beach kid. Every day during the summer when I was in middle school and high school, we would go to the beach. Because there was nothing else to do. So one night, Jaws came out during the summer. I went with all my friends and we saw Jaws. And we made a deal when we walked out that the next day we would all meet at the beach and swim out to the buoys, which is in the, remember in the beginning of Jaws, there's just that girl out there swimming.
Yeah, sure, the girl goes out the buoy and, yeah.
We agreed to do that because we all thought if we didn't, we'd be so scared to go back in the water that we'd never do it. So the next day at 10 in the morning, we met and swam out to the buoys just to alleviate that fear. How long did you stay out of the water?
Till last year. No, I mean, we would go, first of all, Hawaii. All these years I've gone to Hawaii. Never went to the ocean until last year. Nicaragua, Colombia, none of these places.
Is that all out of fear for sharks?
Or all fear of 100% sharks? Fear of sharks. 100%. Although stingrays also, there were, what do they call them when the tail flips up and, is that a stingray?
I would think.
Yeah, stingrays in El Salvador. There were bad down there. But no, sharks terrify me. And I'm always sure that there's a shark right by me. And I, you know, some of those facts.
And have you ever seen a shark?
Yes.
When?
Okay, so here's the story. So when I was in Africa in 2000, I was in Senegal, and I took a wave runner, rented a wave runner at the beach, and it was really, really choppy. So I was bouncing around out there. It was a perfect ride. And while in the air, I saw a dorsal fin. And I squeezed on the throttle so hard that I snapped it off. Now, I have no way to get back into shore. I saw a dorsal fin.
You're a sitting duck.
I was a sitting duck out there until somebody came out and towed me back in. But I was friggin' terrified because I'd seen that fin. I don't get it. I don't. And the people. Now, on the other hand, I would love to go down in a shark cage. If I know I've got a cage, I am fascinated to see what it would be like to be that close to a shark.
Cage, but in terms of, no cage, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out. Give me a cage and I'm in. No cage, I'm out.
When does Shark Fest start? Is it already started?
Shark Fest starts this Sunday.
Okay.
And then you got to wait a couple weeks for Mike Tyson versus Jaws. Somebody's going to get bit.
That's fantastic. Yeah, somebody's going to get bit.
And what does that even look like? What does Mike Tyson versus Jaws look like?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
Is he in the water with a shark?
Why
not? Is he wrestling the shark?
I'm in.
You know how you deal with a shark? You punch it in the nose.
Good to know.
Mike Tyson's perfect. You know that, don't you?
No, I've never heard that before, but I'll be happy to do it.
Yeah, no, you punch a shark in the nose, it changes his ability to go underwater. I know all sorts of random shark facts because I'm scared to death of the things. All right, coming up next for you, Ed Orgeron. Talking about football, college football, coming back down in Baton Rouge.
With number one, LSU Tiger.
Yep.
Number one.
He's going to sound a lot like that.
No question.
Next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Just talking about my congressional run.
Now, and I asked a serious question. Somebody know the answer to this. So in the past, when people in the media have run for Congress or for senator or for any political office, the broadcast outlet, in this case ESPN Radio, would, if you announced you were running for Congress,
yes,
the ESPN, I think, because of equal time rules, would be forced to take you off the air. But what if I agreed to run against you from the opposite party?
It's an interesting idea.
Would that keep Mason and Ireland on the air? Because then we would have, you know, you and I talk about the same on this show.
Yeah.
It would be equal time for both sides. Then you wouldn't have to get taken off the air.
Right. By the way, does that rule still hold?
I don't
know. If you're running for office,
I just know
you
it's kind of
air?
Media protocol. That anytime, like, I think that's what ended Trump on The Apprentice, is when he ran for president, right? Didn't they bring in Schwarzenegger to be The Apprentice for a year?
Yeah, but he was already gone by the time.
Oh, was he? When, by the
yeah,
time
Schwarzenegger
he announced he
was
running.
Always already the host by the
and
time
Trump. I think
Trump,
that lasted like 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year. Schwarzenegger bombed in that. Yeah, so get ready for my congressional run. It's
excellent.
Coming soon.
Good.
All right, so Ed Orgeron was doing a press availability down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Any excuse to play Ed Orgeron sound on the air.
This is his actual voice. We are not doctoring Coach O.
Here's what he said about football coming back.
We have our team back. They're ready to go. We need football. We need to play. The state needs it. The country needs it. These men have worked hard. Last year, going into the season, Joe Burrow was a projected 6th-round draft choice. He wasn't the first player picked in the draft and signed for $33 million. If he didn't play last season, nobody ever knows about Joe Burrow winning the championship. I don't think we can take this away from these players. Take this away from our state and our country. We need football. Football is the lifeblood of our country, in my opinion.
All
football
right, now,
is the lifeblood of our country.
Coach O, come on. You're smarter than this. Nobody is on a campaign to take away football. We're in a pandemic. The only reason they wouldn't play is that it would be medically unsafe.
Right.
The argument he just made is absurd. We need football so that we can discover the next Joe Burrow. Well, what? The only reason people aren't lining up to play football and aren't lining up to go to the games is that it's medically unsafe.
Yes.
His argument makes, and I love Coach O, but his argument makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, I love Coach O. He is a great guy, and I was really happy for him this last year, a national championship and Heisman Trophy winner and all that stuff. But, Louisiana is one of the many states in total COVID meltdown. Just unbelievable numbers of cases, unbelievable numbers of hospitalizations and of deaths in Louisiana. I really think increasingly the SEC may want to play football, but I don't think they can play football. I don't think they can. I mean, I don't know that they can even have classes in the state that Louisiana's in.
I ran into Dave Miller at the supermarket yesterday.
Yeah.
And his daughter, he was telling me, his daughter is going to Arizona State and she's leaving in a month. I have a neighbor whose daughter is starting as a freshman at Michigan State, and she's leaving in a month.
It's friggin' lunacy.
But it's happening.
So, well, it's happening as of right now.
Yeah,
we
correct.
Don't know what the world's going to look like in a month.
But
Arizona's in meltdown. You're really going to put a whole bunch of kids together at Arizona State? Well, University
Dave,
of Arizona,
Dave
you going
to
do that?
Was telling me his other two kids, his daughter is the one going to ASU, and her brothers, both of Dave's other kids, one is in Tempe and one's in Tucson. Now, I don't know if they're at a school, but they're down there already.
Yeah, I mean, is it any surprise that the United States leads the world in coronavirus?
No.
People just aren't taking it seriously enough.
But we're going to find, I mean, I haven't completely ruled out football. I would classify it as unlikely.
I think college football is cooked. I think that we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the key to successfully pulling together a sport, case of the NBA, case of Major League Baseball, is testing. They have the ability and the resources, and the financial wherewithal to test every day or every other day, to test support staff, to test all those people to try to keep things safe. In the case of the NFL, they probably are going to have complete availability to testing. Everybody's going to be tested if the NFL happens. How do you test the 100 people that are associated with the LSU program as you go to practice and on to a game? Do you test every day? Do you have the capabilities to test
every day if you're at LSU? By the way, Mace, LSU might have the money, but no way like Oregon State and Washington State have the money.
Right.
No way the bottom of the conferences have that money, so you're right.
And that makes it really, really tough, I think. Because in the end, it's gonna succeed or fail. And by the way, baseball, I was listening to Buster Olney's podcast today. We should invite Buster on tomorrow or whenever, because he's gotten a lot more optimistic. Baseball's testing has turned out to be pretty solid. And there are incidents, like there was an instance in the Houston Astros camp where George Springer's test didn't come back for some reason and was a day late, and so he had to sit out a day. But for the most part, teams are testing everybody. And they're not getting a bunch of negative, or they're not getting a bunch of positive tests, and it seems to be working, and we seem to be on track for opening day a week from tomorrow. Baseball, despite the fact that it seemed like they didn't know what they're doing, it seems like they're figuring it out a little bit on the fly, not necessarily with the careful planning and the unbelievable genius of Adam Silver and the way the NBA has constructed itself in Orlando. But in the case of baseball, they may have lucked into it because the testing is working.
Mace, severe blow to your team's chances in the Orlando NBA bubble. De'Aaron Fox, sprained ankle, out 7 to 10 days.
Oh, man, that's a bummer.
That's a lifetime in a short season.
Yeah. Your dream of the Kings being the squirrel team may be dying.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think there is a squirrel team. I think Memphis is going to win that slot.
Well, they deserve it. They've been in first or in eighth place for a long time, so we'll see if they can hold up.
Lakers, Sacramento, Memphis in the first round.
Yeah, Sacramento would have to go 6-2 or 5-3 to even get into a playoff, and that's going to be hard to do without De'Aaron Fox.
And Memphis would have to fall apart.
Right.
And you know, I'm a huge Ja Morant fan. I think it'd be fun to watch a series with Ja Morant.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Yeah,
he's. I think he's. I know a lot of people think Zion came on late, but I think Ja Morant's a lock for Rookie of the Year.
Oh yeah, I think he is. I think he is. You can't. Zion didn't play enough to win Rookie of the Year. I think Ja Morant.
By the way, Damian Lillard's birthday today. We share the same birthday.
Nice. Forrest Whitaker's birthday
yep,
today.
Forrest Whitaker was the answer to who was the most famous person that shared my birthday until Damian Lillard came along. Who's the most famous person that shares your birthday?
Let me see. Carl Malden.
No kidding. Streets of San Francisco. Yeah. I'm guessing Lindsay and Funches have no idea who that is.
Nope.
This guy with an enormous nose, ironically.
Oh, is that where you got it?
Yeah, that's where I got it. Yeah, no, I don't have a great.
My mom has one of the great shared birthdays of all time, February 6th. All right.
Okay.
Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
Babe Ruth.
Yep.
Bob Marley.
Yep.
Tom Brokaw.
Oh, that's
all
a great
on February
one.
6th.
That's a great one.
I have Forrest Whitaker and Damian Lillard.
By the way, I do have Kyrie Irving, who
that's
is
not bad.
Who I'm almost as temperamental as. Michelle Monaghan, Ayesha Curry, Kerry Russell, who I love, Chaka Khan. Those
Chaka
are some
Khan's underrated. That's a good one.
Do you don't have any other famous people on your birthday?
I think that's those are the most famous. Forrest Whitaker, Damian Lillard, and then me.
Yeah, that's slim, man. You right. almost. Made whenever, the list like, of most famous people.
Well, no, whenever a friend of mine tells me he has, like, I have two friends.
Ariana Huffington.
That's not bad. I have two friends that have kids that have today as a birthday, same day as me. And I tell them they have a chance to be the most famous person born on July 15th. That slot is kind of open.
The slot is open.
All you got to do is trump Damian Lillard and Forrest Whitaker.
And you.
Yeah, coming in third, but I'm there. Bronze medalist.
Exactly. All right. Coming up next for you, it is time, people. Let's see. Right now, we've got a spirited game of games battle for the month of July. I've got three. Ireland's got three. Lindsay's got three. Brian Kamenetsky is a guest host as one. And Funch. Hello, Funch.
Funch Day.
Funch Day.
Today's Funch Day. I've got the game today for Game of Games. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Game of games time. So here's how this works, people. Every day we play a game at this time. And then we keep track for the entire month who wins the most. Right now we've got a very chippy battle. I've won three games. Ireland has won three games. Lindsay's won three games. Brian Kamenetsky as a guest host won one. And Funch has yet to be heard from. Funch Day.
Could be today, Funch.
Could
Hopefully
be your
so.
Day. Month of July, next game of games. Here we go. This game is called Closest Without Going Over. Closest Without Going Over.
Okay.
You guys can all assume exactly what this game is going to be. all right, first one. Willie Flipper Anderson holds the record for most receiving yards in a single game for the Los Angeles Rams. How many did he have closest without going over? John.
He still holds the record?
Still holds the record. All Set right. in 1989.
You said his name is Flipper?
Yeah, he went to UCLA.
Willie Flipper Anderson. Uh-huh.
Well,
receiving yards in a single game. John.
300.
300. Lindsay.
Probably.
I'm going to go 301.
301. Funch.
Bob? 270.
Oh, Funch. It's like right there.
I know.
Lindsay takes the point. 336 yards receiving.
By the way, Lindsay, that wasn't very spirited.
I have no spirit. Come on. The real spirit is competition. Let's be serious, Ireland.
Okay,
you do the same thing.
Well, now I will.
Okay.
Here we go. Don Sutton holds the Dodgers team record for career complete game shutouts. How many complete game shutouts did Don Sutton throw for the Dodgers? Closest without going over, Lindsay.
I'm going to guess 7.
7. Funch.
I will say 11.
11.
Oh,
John.
It's way more. Should I be a jerk and say 12? No, phrase it again, Mace.
Dodgers team record for career complete game shutouts.
Oh, career, I guess it would be awful.
Yeah, it's got to be. He's got to have like 50. I'll just to play it safe, I'll say 25.
He's got 52. Your first number was a good one. So you are on the board. It is Ireland 1, Lindsay 1, and Funch. Hello.
Funch day.
Next one. Carlos Vela from LAFC won the MVP for last season in the MLS. He set a new MLS record for most points in a season. How many points did Vela rack up last year? Closest without going over, Funch.
I'll guess a number like 42.
42. John.
I think he had to have more than that. I'll in this, I won't kneecap you, French, like Lindsay kneecap me. I will say he had 50.
50. And Lindsay, what say you?
I'm going to guess 60.
60. Lindsay will take the point. He had 72 points last year,
wow,
including 34 goals.
At least, Lindsay, you did it in good spirit that time.
I tried to give you a little bit of a, you know, a little leeway, because I know absolutely nothing about soccer.
Yeah, I was guessing. I was guessing too.
Okay, Lindsay 2, Ireland 1. Hello, Funch. All right. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar owns the Lakers record for most two-point shots. Most two-point shots. How many two-pointers did Kareem score in his Lakers career? Closest without going over, we're back to John.
Okay, so
2-point free throws. I'm sorry, 2-point field goals.
I was going to say, what is a 2-point free throw?
2-point field goals.
You figure he didn't make any threes. So you're just trying to figure out how many of Kareem's baskets were free throws. Versus,
and how many were two-pointers, exactly.
So he's got 37,000 points. This is a complete guess. 6,500.
Lindsay.
I'm going to guess 15,000.
15,000. Okay. And Funch.
I'll say 8,000.
8,000. Funch will take that point.
There you go.
9,934 two-point field goals for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in his career.
All right, so what's the score?
Lindsay 2, John 1, Funch 1.
Okay.
And this is for everything. I do have a tiebreaker if we need it.
So I got to beat Lindsay if I'm going to do it. Okay.
Lamar Jackson had the best QBR in the NFL in the 2019 season. What was Lamar Jackson's QBR last year, closest without going over? And we start with Lindsay because she has the lead.
I'm going to guess it's – do we need, like, whole numbers or are we rounding?
I mean, you can do either. You can do fractional numbers if you want to.
I was going to say, I feel like they do the numbers. So I'm going to guess
92.3. Funch.
I'll say an even 100.
An even 100. Wow. And John?
100.1.
You guys all went over. Let's do it again.
Okay.
Let's start with Lindsay. You guys, the lowest one that you tried was 92.3. So it's less than that, Lindsay.
89.1.
89.1. I love that you added the point one. Funch?
85.
John?
What was Lindsay's?
89.1. Funch was 85.
I will go 89.2.
Once again, you have all gone over. You are overestimating Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
So we go back to Lindsay. Lindsay, take another shot. Lowest one was 85 there.
Well, let's see. If John's going to kneecap me.
I told you I'd get you back.
I might as well just guess something really stupid. Like, you said the lowest was 85?
Lowest was 85.
I'm going to guess 84.5.
84.5. Was that your real guess? Okay.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Funch?
I'll back it down to 79.
79, Ireland.
Lindsay's at 85, Funch is at 79,
yep.
Right?
No, mine is 84.5.
84.5.
All right, so if I go right in the middle of them, it would be around 82, right? I'll go, but I think it's higher than 79, so I'll go 80.
It's 81.8.
John, you should have taken 82.
I almost did take
82. Yeah, you almost went 82, which would have been 0.2 over. All right, so we have the tiebreaker. Funch, no surprise, you're not in this.
It's not Funch Day?
It's not Funch Day. Not yet.
Okay.
All right, so last one. This is John versus Lindsay. Luke Robitaille holds the Los Angeles Kings record for most career goals. How many goals did Robitaille score for the Kings in his career, closest without going over? It doesn't matter who goes. Well, I guess it does matter who goes first. Lindsay, you go first.
How many goals does someone score in a career?
If it makes you feel any better.
Goals in a career for Luke Robitaille.
I'm going to guess 500.
500. Ireland.
Bob.
500 Bob. I think. Okay, so I'm either giving her the high or the low, right? Because it's not without going over.
Yep.
I think it's more. I'll go 501.
Well, you sucker.
No, you get low if it's lower.
And 501 will carry the day. 557 goals for Luke Robitaille in his career. And John Ireland takes today's
birthday,
game of games.
A birthday win. Lindsay, that was nice of you to let me win on my birthday.
You're welcome. That was your birthday gift.
Thank you. Well,
Enjoy it.
The Brad Whitford was better, but thank you for that. I'll take it.
Yeah.
That was Mark Cates' birthday gift.
Ireland now with 4 wins this month, he leads game of games.
By one.
But and tomorrow I can't compete. I'm the host of the game.
Plus it's on now. Like, I'm going to kneecap the heck out of you for every opportunity I can.
I think we should have a discussion about this.
Okay.
I think we should eliminate kneecapping moving forward, and this is how I think we should do it. I think you should be at least 10 off of what the other person guessed, okay? In other words, to create some chance for the person. Now, in that particular tiebreaker, Lindsay, he didn't say without going over, so if Luke would have had 466 goals, you would have won. I was just guessing if you were high or low. But in the other games, we kneecapped each other. What do you guys think about you have to be 10 away from the previous guess? And you can go 10 lower or 10 higher, doesn't matter. But it gives that person a chance.
Okay, let's get rid of kneecapping. I'm for that.
So that way, Lindsay...
Well, it's not really getting rid of it. It's just limiting it, but okay.
Yeah, it gives you a fighting chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, Twitter poll. When John Ireland let people copy off of his tests while he was at UCLA, was he cheating?
Mm-hmm. No, the other person was cheating.
What do you think the percentage say you were cheating?
Well, it's your Twitter followers, so it'll tilt towards you, but I still say I can get 30%. I will say 30% say I was not cheating.
36% say what you were doing was not cheating. 64% say cheating.
I'm proud of my 30% as a road team. I think that's okay. 36% is fine. That's more than I thought than you thought I would get, isn't it?
For some reason, my Twitter polls backfire on me all the time. I'll ask people.
But by nature, it's
your chain.
It's your followers. So it is. It's going to tilt towards you.
Sounds cultish, doesn't it? My followers.
Yes.
Totally.
All of my followers. All right. Coming up next.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
It is time for Crosstalk with Alan Sliwa. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Five words light up Los Angeles every weeknight here on 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Alan Sliwa joins us.
Hey, Sliwa, I got news.
What do you got there?
Are you ready?
Yes.
McMenamin just tweeted, Dave McMenamin from, I don't know if he's in Orlando yet. I know he's eventually going into the bubble, but McMenamin just tweeted, according to a league source, Markieff Morris has an excused absence from Orlando and is expected to join the team soon. So McMenamin solved the riddle.
Yeah, how about that? How about those questions today for Coach?
Yeah, it was very, very weird.
How was he in practice? You know, it was very, very creative the way they were trying to figure that
out.
Well,
and Mason's right. If he was great in practice, the coach would just say he's great.
He's great. He's ready to go. Yeah,
true.
Markieff is on it. He's good.
By the way,
but once
you start
getting really cagey, I understand there's a fine line. It happened to us last week when Andrew Friedman was on, and I asked about Kenley Jansen, and he said, well, because of HIPAA laws, I can't really, and I'm like, well, I mean, clearly he's got COVID then. Why mention HIPAA laws unless somebody's sick?
Mm-hmm.
So we assume, I speculate that probably he's got, dealing with the COVID virus.
Okay, so Mace, one of our listeners tweeted me additional July 15th birthdays.
Oh, good.
Okay, so I said earlier, today's my birthday. I said earlier that Damian Lillard has my birthday, and so does Forrest Whitaker.
Right.
And those were the most famous people. So you tell me if these people knock any of us down a peg, okay? Gabriel Iglesias, I think he's a comedian.
He's a
comedian. I would say my mom and not stepdad Leo love him, but I don't think he's more famous.
Okay, Alex Karras.
Oh boy, that's really old school, huh?
Yeah, I think
was actually once part of Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and was on that show. Was it Webster or was it Mr. Belvedere?
Mr. Belvedere, I think it was Mr. Belvedere. I'm going to say Forrest Whitaker more famous.
Okay. Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, no. Linda Ronstadt's going to be there.
All right. Now, this one may knock Linda off. Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a famous one.
That's a famous one.
And this one may knock Jesse out. Rembrandt.
Oh, Rembrandt. Yeah, but what has he done lately?
Exactly.
I like early Rembrandt.
Okay,
he's done nothing of late.
Yeah, I could. Sliwa, what day is your birthday?
November 6th.
Do you have any famous people born on your day?
I just actually I looked it up. So Emma Stone.
Good one.
Ethan Hawke. Who else we got here? Sally Field. Lamar.
Wait, a very big actor's day, apparently.
Yeah.
Lamar Odom. I didn't know Lamar was November 6th. So we got a Laker tie right there. Those are the big names.
All right, Mace, is Sliwa younger or older than Lamar Odom? And I don't know the answer.
Let's see.
Sliwa, good question.
Lamar Odom.
Sure, he's got to be younger.
Lamar Odom's got to be older.
I'm not. Do you know the answer, Sliwa?
I just looked it up, yeah.
Okay, I will say, Sliwa, I'm trying to figure out. You are roughly, you're not 40 yet, are you?
61. No, I'm not 40.
I think Lamar just turned 40 recently, so I think you're younger. What's the answer?
37. He's 40. So yep, he'll be 41 this right. upcoming
yeah.
November.
By the way, a little Markieff Morris update. Dave McMenamin tweets, there's a catch-22 playing out with the Lakers right now. Frank Vogel says he wants to protect players' privacy, so won't comment on the practice performance. The team, however, isn't allowing media into practice and are sharing in-house video photos from their platforms. The content is great and being consumed voraciously by fans, but those same fans are checking who is shown and who isn't, which led to today's questions about Markieff Morris. According to a league source, Morris has an excused absence from Orlando and is expected to join the team soon.
Okay, did you not hear me read that 2 minutes ago?
No, did not. Did you really read that? Did you read that whole thing?
No, but I read the last part that you put the emphasis on.
I thought the first part was really important.
You didn't hear anything I said, did you?
No, you're Forrest Whitaker.
I complimented McMenamin on breaking the story and said he's got breaking news. It was the very first thing I did.
Is that or is that not true, Sliwa?
It is true. It is true.
He did break this.
John pointed that out probably 2 minutes ago before we started.
I just felt like it's that big a story.
And by the way, we're getting conflicting reports on if it was Webster or Mr. Belvedere. People seem to think it was Webster that Alex Karras was on.
Boy, that's a good one.
Bob Uecker was on Mr. Belvedere.
You're right. It had to be Webster. It had to be Webster.
I remember. Do you remember Ernie Anderson, the voice of ABC?
Oh, sure.
I remember whenever he had Webster.
The love little, boat.
Yeah. Little boy has got a big problem.
So, John, what's the plan? What's the plan for your birthday tonight?
Tell us about it.
My mom is coming up.
That's
when
nice.
I get off at 6:30, or Sliwa, as you know, at 6:24. Yeah. Yesterday, yep. Last night it was 6:20. It was great.
Yeah, it was great.
Mason screwed the clock. It is my mom's coming up, and we're just having dinner with the four of us. But the big winner here is Jack Ireland, my son, because he loves, for whatever reason, he loves eating steak, which was my favorite thing growing up.
Well, I mean, for whatever reason, it's steak. Who doesn't love eating steak?
So we're getting, basically, he set the menu, but my mom and my wife are downstairs making it. And so when I get off right at 6:24, I'm going to eat a feast because my mom wants to get out of here before it gets too late so she can go back to the Orange County bubble.
God, what I wouldn't give for a great medium-rare New York strip right now.
Well,
that
come on over.
So friggin' good.
Come on over.
Mace, have you and probably, I'm sure a lot of people haven't done this, unfortunately, but have you ordered, have you picked up, like, from a good steak place and took it home? I'm just asking the question because
I haven't. Because, you know, I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's the same.
I've had really good luck with that. There's a place called Zane's in Hermosa that makes a great steak, and I've ordered from it several times since the pandemic.
And I can't cook a steak at home to be like a steak at a restaurant.
But you have a bunch of great restaurants. Mace, you should order from Felix, which is right around the corner from your house. I ordered from Felix because my wife knows one of the people that runs it, and it was fantastic.
What do they got?
Well, it's an Italian joint, so they make their own pasta, but they have seafood, steak, everything. Just look it up. Go online. Look it up.
What's your favorite steak in L.A.? I know it's a tough question, but what's your go-to steak or your favorite steak just out of all these restaurants out
there? The best one is Mastro's. Fleming's is still good. Mace, what's the place where there's one in Santa Monica and there used to be
Boa,
one in
that is
Boa.
Fine.
Boa's the other
great.
One.
I'm all Boa's about great. Boa.
Yeah, so it'd be one of those. Probably Mastro's for me, Alan. How about you?
Mastro's. No question about it.
You know what? I think Mastro's is full of it.
You
I really
think it's overrated?
Do. I think it's way overrated. I think they bring way too much food. I think they it's so about being seen. I don't like restaurants that are all about being
there
seen.
There is a Mastro's Ocean Club.
Oh yeah, Malibu.
In Newport Coast.
Oh, yeah,
right down by Pelican Hill. That is spectacular. It's pricey, but it's worth it. It's spectacular.
And Fleming's is overpriced. I'm sorry.
Well, all steakhouses are overpriced.
I know there are neighbors and all that kind of stuff, but Fleming's is too much, and I have a bad association with Fleming's because in 2010.
Okay, go ahead.
The night before Game 7 of the NBA Finals in 2010, our bosses at that point.
I forgot about this.
Brought us, and again, think about this. We've gone through an entire season. We've made it to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. So our bosses.
And it's the next night.
Our bosses invited us to
dinner.
Can we
say the boss? Can we say the boss name or no?
Sure. Chris Berry and Smokey Gifford. So those are the bosses.
Chris Berry.
Yeah. And so they take us to Fleming's. They meet us at Fleming's. So I'm like, oh, cool. Celebratory dinner after a great season. And the first thing they say is, we want to let go of Dave Singer, who was our producer at that time. And John and I were both just stunned at this because Dave had been our producer for years and was a huge integral part of the show. And the show was rocking at that particular time. And we could not figure out why they would want to make that change. And, you know, I ordered a ribeye before I got the news and left before we finished anything.
We walked out. Now, here's the most interesting part of that story. Mace, do you remember who they wanted to replace Dave with?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so they wanted to hire Travis Rogers to replace Dave. And we said, we're not doing the show without Dave. You guys figure it out. And we left.
And what did we say? We said, Travis wants to be on the air.
Yeah, we said, Travis has, you know, and actually at the time, Travis was in Houston. And I think he was being on the air and he wanted to work his way back to California where he was from. And I said, Travis isn't going to be happy producing now that he's been on the air. And sure enough, 5 years later, they hired Travis to come out here and be on the air. You know, so it wasn't anything against Travis. We just didn't want to fire Dave. And we thought Travis's heart was being on the air. And we were 100% right.
When did Singer go to NFL Network? How long ago?
Shortly after that, because he knew that
the writing was on the wall.
He knew that that eventually he figured out that was as far as the ESPN people were going to let him go.
And by the way, Singer's done great.
Yeah, we were very happy for him when he went to.
Yeah, he loves it there, and they love him, and he's doing great. And
I ironically worked with him pretty closely at NFL Network.
At NFL Network?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Okay, so I have a cheating scandal update.
Okay.
All right, so Mason, today it came up, Sleewa, that when I was in college, Lindsay asked the question, did you ever cheat on a test? And here's the story I told. I had some basketball players in one of my classes, and I knew all the material, and I was whipping through the test, and one of them goes, hey, man, what'd you get for number 7? So I just moved my arm and let him copy number 7. And a little bit later, he goes, how about number 11? And I gave him number 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turned my test in. I knew I got an A. I knew I did well. Sleewa, in that scenario, did I cheat?
This was for a basketball player?
Yep. Who stayed eligible, and we had a good team that year.
I was going to say, how did the team do this year? No, you're in the mix then. Yeah, if you gave him the answers, then you're in the mix too, right?
Like, exactly.
Okay, so Mace.
You're part of the cheating scheme.
Mace, Daniel Bridges.
Yes.
Has tweeted us. I believe John was complicit in the cheating.
Yes.
And would be a person of interest in the cheating scandal.
A person of interest.
He was a necessary part of it. However, all caps, he did not cheat. He was not the one who benefited from such activity, but he was an accessory to murder, just not the actual murderer.
Interesting.
Which I agree with, Daniel. I should receive a lighter sentence because I did not cheat.
Yeah. I guess as a point of technicality, but being complicit and being part of this scheme, I love to use the word scheme.
Yeah.
Being part of this cheating scheme, I think, makes you a guilty party.
James Porras, Ireland should be canceled for this.
Yes, we should cancel John.
I didn't cheat. He cheated.
So, Sleewa, I don't know if you heard or not, but I'm preparing for a run for Congress.
No, I did not hear this.
Yeah. And the question I have is, am I allowed to stay on the air if I'm running for Congress?
Are you allowed to stay on the air?
I think ESPN would threaten to take him off the air. Now, Alan, how about this? Assuming that he would be taken off the air, like most people who have run for political office, what if I ran against him from the opposite side of the aisle? And then would that not, by definition, because the name of the show is Mason and Ireland, be equal time for both sides?
Right.
How great would this entire show would just be you guys debating certain things? Now, we're gonna
we wouldn't
better.
Even make the show about politics, but it would just allow us to stay on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to campaign on the air. I'm still going to do the normal show. But I mean, I'll have, you know, campaign
you
stops.
Throw a couple plugs. Yeah, you got to have a couple plugs in there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm going to
and
go
I will not campaign.
Stuff.
But if the person next to me wants to look over my campaign promises, I'd be happy to provide them. So what do you think, Leo? Would that work if we both are running on opposite sides of the aisle?
I think we all know ESPN. I don't know if that one's going to fly.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think that one's going to fly.
ESPN would come out and just say, you're both fired.
Yeah, probably. Probably. All right.
Did you guys ever figure out what Greg has against MT?
No. You know, it's a really good question. Out? We have never been able to understand
Bergman,
why Greg hates MT.
Bergman hated all calls and all guests.
Unbelievable, Greg.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
We've done a bad job on calls lately.
Let's take a bunch tomorrow.
Yeah, let's take a bunch. Let's declare tomorrow Open Phones International.
Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have the Open Phones International? We actually made a big catchy thing for Open Phones International because we've got listeners all over the world. Like I hear from people in Australia in particular who listen to the show. For some reason, we own Australia.
Mace, you said last time you did this international call thing, you said it was a hit.
It was a huge success.
Well, there it is.
In fact, our
by the way, Mace.
Yeah.
I just checked your poll.
Yeah.
I'm up to 42%. Let people copy off his test while he was at UCLA? Was he cheating? 42%.
Well,
no.
You've filibustered for yourself.
I'm still losing.
Yeah, you will not win. You will not win.
42% is very respectable.
Yeah, it's impossible to defend your sketchy actions. All right, more crosstalk coming up next with Sliwa.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Crosstalk on 710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and our Cross-Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great cross-trade service right now for our listeners. A $99 drain cleaning. Go to powerproplumbing.com for all the details. Hey, Mace, so quick question. You were saying that so you don't go into the ocean, but you just started doing it, but in the past you hadn't?
In the past, I haven't. In the last couple of trips, I have. Not in Costa Rica, I went in the ocean. And in Croatia, I went in the ocean. The ocean in Croatia is like crazy. It is. For a while there, I was watching people swim, and I'm like, man, they have the best swimmers in the world in Croatia. And then I got in the water and realized it's so filled with salt that you don't sink.
Mm-hmm.
You're just floating in it. So everybody is a good swimmer in Croatia. It's so easy to swim. You don't have to do anything to hold yourself up. But Croatia, yes, that's where I was willing to swim. No sharks in that sea.
But you said you would be down to be in one of those cages and watch sharks.
Yeah, I would. I would love to. Now,
That's a bucket list for me.
As long as I've got a cage to protect me, they do it up in the Bay Area with great white sharks. I would love to do that, to be in the middle of that.
John,
that I would sign up for.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
That seems like one of those. I maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, got scuba certified, but Yeah, I did. Which is, I mean, the fact that I got scuba certified, I'm like, are they just handing these things out? But one of the places that they kept saying to go is, you know, Baja California, La Paz. That's one of the best places in the world to do that shark diving where you're sitting in a cage. That's bucket list.
Yep.
I mean, that's got to be one of those.
By the way, do you guys know that SCUBA is an acronym? Do you know what it stands for?
Self-contained something breathing apparatus.
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. The reason I know that is because on the TV show Family Ties...
Yep.
Remember that Michael J. Fox played Alex Keaton, and he was super smart?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And who was the girl that played his sister? Justine
Tina
Bateman.
Yothers.
No, she. You know, she played the youngest sister.
Oh, okay.
Justine Bateman.
That's right.
Played his middle sister, and she never got any grades. And they were studying one day, and he goes, "What's scuba stand for?" And she blurted that out, and he went, "What?" He couldn't believe she got an actual question right. And for some
right.
reason, they were jumping up and down saying self-contained underwater breathing apparatus, and it stuck in my head. So it adds to the litany of useless knowledge I have in my head.
Hey, let me ask you, this is interesting. It's sort of entertainment related. I love John Hamm. John Hamm has been on the show. He's a great dude. He's really, really funny. John Hamm is really funny. Did you see what movie they're remaking with John Hamm in it?
No.
Fletch.
Oh, he'll be perfect.
They should not remake that movie. You don't remake Fletch.
Here's the problem.
Fletch is an absolute classic.
They have to find a way to use the original Chick Hearn audio for the dream sequence.
Yeah, I know.
Fletch, 6'5", with the afro, 6'9". Yeah, I mean, you got to get Chick in there somehow.
But seriously, why do you need to remake classics? Why not just come up with a new idea? Here's an idea.
How do you
come
up
with a new one?
How do you live up to Chevy Chase, too, you know?
Yeah, and how do you follow Chevy Chase? And by the way, you know, what equity is built up in that film? In other words, the movie-going audience predominantly is 18 to 34. It's a younger audience that goes to the movies. Who 18 to 34 even knows who Fletch was
is? That's why you do remake it. They recently did Fletch on the Rewatchables on The Ringer.
Yep.
And they brought this up that they probably should remake it because there's a whole generation of kids who has no idea who Fletch is. So, but I think those kids all go back and watch movies now that everything's streamed.
Did either of you watch Cobra Kai when they did that on
I thought
YouTube?
It was great.
No, I heard it was really good though.
And I just mentioned it because that was an interesting one because you were able to grab those that watched Karate Kid and, you know, obviously wanted to know, okay, Cobra Kai. By the way, these are a lot of them, you know, the same actors that we were watching back in the mid-80s or so. But then I think they were able to grab this, I don't know, 12 to 21 or 12 to 18-year-olds because a lot of the main actors and actresses in Cobra Kai were also that age. You know, so it was an interesting way of doing it because, John, I liked it. Like, I enjoyed it. And I was... Part of the time, I'm like, is this even for my age? Like, a lot of times, I'm like, this is probably for high schoolers, but I wanted to see that those original cast members from Karate Kid. I'm not saying this is, you know, Fletch and the remake of it, but there's some of these that make sense. I thought that one they did right.
Cobra Kai.
Little known fact
excellent.
About Chevy Chase, jerk.
That's,
really?
That's not a little known fact.
He is
by
a
the way.
Real jerk.
Is he really?
That's a well known fact.
Yeah, I used to, when I was doing the Snyder Show at CBS, a lot of my guests would come straight from Politically Incorrect, which Bill Maher was doing at that point, come over to my studio and do the show. I'm telling you, he got into a really chippy back and forth with Stephen Bochco, creator of Hill Street Blues and L.A. Law, and great, fantastic guy. So he gets into an on-air feud with this guy, then comes over to my studio and does basically a half-hour bitching about Stephen Bochco. I'm like, dude, what? Get over it, man. Just a sour guy.
Yeah, I'm afraid, unfortunately, you know, he was a big star, a big movie star, and he was the first big star to come out of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
But his legacy, Mace, is that, you know, most people think he was a jerk.
Those series that Vegas Vacation.
Funny.
I think too, Mace, like every time I feel like, I don't know what channel, it could be TBS, it could be, doesn't it feel like those are on? You can find one of those movies, one of those that they had over those, you know, the course of years. I feel like it's always on TV. So it's even if you were watching it back then when you were younger or watching it now, it's still freaking hilarious. The Griswolds, like
all that stuff is so funny. National Lampoon's Vacation, National
right.
Lampoon's Christmas Vacation
mm-hmm.
was fantastic when he lit up the house so that you could see it from space. That was fantastic. Yeah, I mean, he was really, really... His movies are incredibly funny, but I'm trying to think. And he was great on Saturday Night Live. Obviously, he was one of the originals on Saturday Night Live. I just think, why not make a new movie? Just make a new movie. You don't need to remake old movies. Leave them alone.
Well, right now, nobody's making any movies.
Right now, yeah, we're all screwed.
I got a podcast for you guys to listen to, and I think it's probably, maybe you guys have both listened to it. Do you guys ever listen to Hoop Collective Podcast, the Windhorse
one? Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Did you guys listen to the one, the heist, how the NBA executive stole millions?
That's yeah, the title was that it. The Kevin Arnovitz one?
Yes, it was Kevin Arnovitz. And I think Kevin Arnovitz, I think, narrated the whole thing. You listened to it?
I just
listened to it this past weekend. John, have you heard it?
I have not.
How fascinating was it, Steve?
Oh, it is.
So in a nutshell, how did they steal the money?
One guy. Jeff David, I think, was his name. And he was an executive for the Sacramento Kings. He was head, I think, of all of their sponsorships. So do you remember, John, I'm trying to think, who's the Golden, what's the main sponsor there? The
Golden One Center. It's the Golden One, which is a financial company, I think.
And I think Kaiser Permanente was another one. So basically what he did is he had these deals done, whatever the naming rights was. And then afterwards, he negotiated another deal as far as, like, instead of having an increase every year, they would just pay a one-time. I think Mesa was a total of like $9 million, and he did it to Kaiser as well. So it was, in essence, it was $13 million. He had these, and then he creates this LLC called Sacramento Sports something, and now this money is being funneling
through there.
Wow.
To his account. John, I think they got so lucky that they even ended up finding out. Like, it almost, the way they found out was by mistake. By that point, he had already bought two homes in Southern California. One was in, I think, Hermosa Beach. I forget where the other one was. Maybe it's Manhattan. But, John, it's fascinating to hear
I'll
it
check
all
it
go
out.
Through.
Yeah. And did they mention at any part of that podcast that it's 6:24?
They did, right at the end.
Yeah, right at the end.
Right at the
end. Because we are right at the end. Tomorrow, Open Phones International. Ask anything, say anything. We will take your calls. Plus, John, who else do we have? Anthony Slater?
Yeah, who's the new Laker writer for The Athletic, and he's really good. He did a breakdown with Hollinger today that was excellent. So check that out in The Athletic.
Sliwa, what do you have coming up?
Real quick, Family Feud for tomorrow?
Yeah, let's
all right,
do
Family
it.
Family Feud tomorrow. Kirk and I all night tonight as well.
All right, good. Oh, I love when Kirk's on the show. So good. Kirk and Curtis.
I just set them up, and then they just go.
Tee them up and they go.
I go take a shower after that.
All right. See you tomorrow. 2:55, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.